Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margaritas shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, happy Tuesday. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers, and it's a terrific Tuesday afternoon here. March officially beginning yesterday, late afternoon. So today is the first full day of spring. And here in the studio, joined by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, and just all around awesome person. Annalise, how are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
I am great today, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about our growing radio network, head over to the website civicmedia.us. You can learn more there. And Annalise, we got a lot of reasons. A lot of things going on here in Wisconsin right now.
So many things.
A lot of stuff to keep our eyes on.
Yes.
And 2 weeks from today is Election Day. A lot of the things to keep an eye on surrounding that. It is also the kickoff today of early voting.
Yes.
We're going to get into that in a little bit here. But earlier today, the governor, Governor Tony Evers, introduced a piece of legislation here in Wisconsin to codify Roe v. Wade after it was overturned by the United States Supreme Court last year in the Dobbs decision. And you were there in attendance at the event.
I was. I was super grateful to be there this morning. And it was awesome to see our governor, Governor Evers, continue to stand up for what we know the people of Wisconsin are in support of, which is codifying Roe. So the Restore Roe Act was introduced this morning. The governor spoke. The lieutenant governor spoke. There was a physician who spoke. And two of our state legislators who are simply asking the Republicans to have a debate on this. Yeah. This is what this is what Wisconsinites want. An overwhelming majority of us believe in abortion access, and we want that restored here in Wisconsin. And that's what this bill would do. And so you are more than welcome to contact your legislator wherever you are in Wisconsin and ask them to not only sign on to the Restore Roe Act, but also to bring it to a hearing and bring it to a vote.
Yeah, because there is now a piece of legislation that can be advanced that has been introduced by the governor and these Democratic lawmakers. And I believe I saw that it was the state senators. I don't want to get it wrong. So
I believe every single Democratic legislator is signed on to this legislation.
Okay.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, that is pretty uniform announcement by the elected officials in the state legislature for the Democratic Party. And the standing together and announcing this, I think, is huge, because there is now something that can be debated and discussed in our state lawmaking body, the state capitol.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see. The governor has called for special sessions in the past.
He has.
Many times throughout his first four-year term.
Twice on this issue specifically.
Yep. And those calls have gone on deaf ears simply because a lot of the times, well, there was no legislative calendar. The legislature had called up and called it quits for the year. It was last year during the campaign cycle where they couldn't be bothered after the first week of March to hear any piece of legislation. But we are in an odd-numbered year, and our lawmakers are there working. So this is something that should be debated.
Yes.
But what do you believe are going to be the next steps on this? Do you feel that this is going to get a hearing, or unfortunately, is this going to fall to deaf ears like the special session calls?
You know, I think the Republicans are going to continue to ignore the will of the people and continue to ignore the fact that Wisconsinites believe in codifying Roe and restoring Roe and restoring abortion access in the state of Wisconsin. They've consistently shown that they do not care, that they do not share our values, and that they, you know, have no problem ignoring Wisconsinites on, yeah. on this issue and many others. And so, you know, I can hope and pray and, and advocate. I'll be contacting my legislators. I saw mm-hmm. them both this morning and they're both signed on. And I know that they're going to be fighters for this. But, you know, I think Republicans are going to continue to stymie discussion. And it's unfortunate because yeah. these are, you know, these are our lives.
Yes.
You know, and this is an incredibly, you know, personal and important issue that so many of us value.
Yeah. And so if you out there in the listening audience want to share a tangent with us, your thoughts on this subject, do you believe that this proposal is going to hear any public hearings, any floor debate, any movement whatsoever in the Wisconsin legislature? Love to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, as well as just all-around awesome human. At the introduction of this piece of legislation earlier today, and it was kind of breaking news. This was not what I invited you on for today, but it is where we wanted to start because it is so vital and so important.
It is. It is.
But the occasion that I wanted to have you on the show today is because early voting kicks off across the state of Wisconsin today.
Yep.
Tuesday, March 21st, mm-hmm. we are 2 weeks away from Election Day, mm-hmm. and early voting used to be a little bit longer where we're standing right now. Here in Madison, the city had a longer period of early voting.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of back and forth, and with your previous work, I wanted to have the conversation with you about early voting, kind of give folks in the listening audience a little history over the last couple of years of what early voting has been like here in Wisconsin and how easy it is for individuals to be voters and make plans thanks to in-person absentee voting or early voting here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So, I'm always excited to talk about voting, Luke, particularly in-person absentee voting. The Republicans in the state of Wisconsin have, you know, I think over the last 15, 20 years consistently and strategically attacked the right to vote in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And in the previous work that I did at One Wisconsin Now and One Wisconsin Institute, we were doing a lot of advocacy around, you know, expanding the right to vote and ensuring that everybody who, you know, had the ability to vote was able to vote.
Yeah.
And Republicans just time again shut that down. So we sued the state. Mm-hmm. We worked with now Attorney General Josh Call, and we sued the state and we said we should actually have more access to in-person absentee voting. We should have easier access to registration. We should have, you know, students shouldn't be penalized for having a student ID, mm-hmm. And they should be able to utilize those. So we sued on a number of things, and I had the honor of testifying in federal court. And we, I think the biggest victory was, the whole thing was a big victory, but I think, you know, in regards to what we have today was the expansion of early voting and early in-person absentee voting yeah. in the state of Wisconsin. So previously, before 2016, you could only vote in one location. So a community like Madison has only one early vote location,
which could mean a lot of congestion for anybody that wanted to participate in early voting.
Yes.
Larger areas, and words are hard sometimes.
They are.
I do try to make a living out of talking into this microphone, but
correct.
Rules like that hindered larger municipalities like Madison and Milwaukee. And so pretty much to the detriment of residents, if I wanted to early vote and I would walk into this one location that early in-person absentee voting was at, and there was a line out the door, I was kind of out of luck.
Yes. And so what this lawsuit did was expand the number of locations allowed by municipalities and also allow municipalities to set their own early voting hours and times. So For example, the city of Madison said, you know what? Awesome. We have a ton of voters. We are going to set up in all of our libraries, and we are going to start, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before the election. Republicans didn't take too kindly to that. It was hugely successful. There were record early vote numbers.
I'm shocked that the Republicans here in Wisconsin were upset that individuals were trying to participate in democracy.
Yes, yes. Shock. It makes me sad. But their response was to further restrict voting. So the way it stands right now, voting is the 2 weeks before the election day. Municipalities are still allowed to have more than one location and can still set their hours, but they can't start earlier than today.
Yeah.
So today is a bit of a holiday. It's an early vote holiday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's great is that a lot of the municipalities and update their information to the myvote.wi.gov, which I feel like I say a million times every single time I come to talk to you. But it's an important website.
Yes.
But it'll tell you where your early vote locations are. Not, you know, if you want to vote in person, you can still request an absentee ballot, and you can still vote on election day. And that website will tell you everything. So I and we also talk about our plans to vote. My plan to vote, I will not have time to vote today.
Not today on the holiday.
Today, but I will be voting this week, either tomorrow or on Thursday.
There we go.
At the Sun Prairie Library. That is where I'm voting.
Today's a little bit busy of a day for me as well, so I may run into you at said Sun Prairie Library over the next 2 days,
because so
my plan is to early vote in person this week.
So all right.
I'm giving myself to this week. We plan on walking the dog and then voting in person absentee at the Sun Prairie Library as well. So folks, if you've got a voting plan out there that you want to share with us, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Annalise Eicher. And we're talking early voting, the piece of legislation that was introduced earlier today by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, as well as Democratic lawmakers, to codify Roe v. Wade here in Wisconsin. And we've got the little... There was some surprising news update. It's no longer breaking news because it broke at the end of last week, but we have a new state treasurer, former state treasurer, new state secretary of state. It is weird because you don't say state secretary, so it throws me off, but we have a new constitutional office to talk about here in Wisconsin, and we're going to get into that on the other side of this break. You are listening to Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. You can share your tangent. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. It's a Tuesday afternoon, and that is a little yacht rock, which can only mean one thing. Joined in studio by Annalise Eicher, and we are talking all Wisconsin politics, and it's wild to think that there's ever been slow news days here in Wisconsin. They happen from time to time. I was really hoping for one last Friday. And all of a sudden, the St. Paddy's Day just became a lot more.
Yes, it did.
And so we had some news break at the end of last week. And here over the weekend, on Friday was the official last day for former Secretary of State Doug LaFollette. And as of Saturday, I don't know if there was a specific time. I think it was just Saturday in general for March 18th. Governor Tony Evers appointed former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski to be the new Secretary of State here in Wisconsin. And this was pretty surprising. I wasn't expecting, like, to be in all honesty, last year with a gentleman of Mr. LaFollette's age, I was a little shocked that he decided to run for an 11th term, believe was the number. And so more than four decades serving in that office.
Yep.
And when he chose to run in 2022, I was like, oh, okay. And I'm not ageist. I don't believe that. But in my own personal opinion, at a certain point, there are questions about some individual's age when it comes to serving in public office. And Brian and I had a very robust conversation around that topic when Doug LaFollette announced that he was running again. And so when he won in November, it was the closest race for statewide. It was only a few thousand votes separated him and former state representative Amy Loudenbeck. And I was like, I wonder if he's going to serve the full 4 years. And 4 months later, he was announcing his resignation. And so it caught me a little bit by surprise, wondering if it caught you in the same reaction or if this was kind of, oh, no, this is just Wisconsin politics these days. Things pop up like this.
Well, I will say it is absolutely Wisconsin politics and that these things happen. But, you know, I fully anticipated Doug LaFollette to serve, you know, one final term.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of us were shocked on Friday when it was announced that he had turned in a letter of resignation to the governor, that he was, you know, done. And, you know, that the governor had then said that he was making the decision to appoint former treasurer Sarah Godlewski to the secretary of state position. And thanks, Doug, for your decades of service.
Yeah.
But I'm incredibly excited to have Sarah Godlewski back in the Evers administration.
Yeah, it was definitely of note last November when, after seeking the bid for U.S. Senate and unsuccessfully in that Democratic primary last fall, that she was no longer going to be serving the state as the state treasurer. So very exciting to see her in this new role. I will miss the emails being signed off by Hoot from Doug LaFollette, though. That is going to be just one of those things when you see it. He signed off tweets like that too.
Yeah.
Just the Hoot as his like best regards.
The little quirks of our Wisconsin politicians, you know, aside. You know, I think Sarah is going to bring a lot of energy to the office.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a 180 compared to Doug LaFollette. And I'm excited. She was a fighter for the state treasurer's office.
Yes, she was.
She revitalized that entire role for saving that constitutional office.
Correct.
And then B, running it for 4 years.
Yes.
I'm very excited to see what she can do in this pretty hampered role that Republicans have stripped away a lot of the responsibilities from the Secretary of State. But
well, and not only stripped away, but they've like actively tried to get rid of these positions
until they thought that they could try to swing it around and all of a sudden give it election oversight again.
Yes, to prevent people from voting,
right,
which we've already talked about this
yes.
time. but it, you know, no, I think you know, the Republicans being upset, you know, and I think there's a lot of false outrage with Tony making this appointment, it's just funny to me because he, you know, he is well within his right and powers as governor to appoint someone and to appoint someone so competent, you know, as Sarah. And I think, you know, it's hard for me as another younger woman in politics. You know, the Republicans don't like us.
Yeah.
And they don't like that Sarah had fought so hard for the treasurer's office and did such an incredible job as our state treasurer. And that has to be playing into, you know, part of the faux outrage here. But I'm looking forward to her serving in that role, to revitalizing the Secretary of State's office the way she did the state treasurer's office. And I think it was an incredibly smart decision by Governor Evers.
Yeah, I think faux outrage is the best description of some of the reactions that we've gotten since last Friday, because really there should be no qualm with Sarah Godlewski taking over this position. She did a phenomenal job as the state treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
I have the utmost confidence that she is going to do a phenomenal job as the Secretary of State as well. Annalise Eicher, thank you so much for joining me here in the studio today. Folks, if you need to make a plan to be a voter, we're going to beat this website like a dead horse between now and 2 weeks from today. MyVote.wi.gov, early voting begins. In-person absentee voting begins today. Make a plan, be like Annalise and I, to take advantage of the work that was done by awesome organizations like One Wisconsin Now and One One Wisconsin Institute?
Yes.
Yes. I was, the acronyms then get in my head because I was the own turn as well. And so then it got thrown around because I got rid of the I for that. But then the I comes back. It's a whole thing. Thank you so much for joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. Best of luck with this evening. And hopefully you get some excellent tryouts.
Right. Thank you. There we go. Folks, and maybe I'll see you at the library when we early vote.
Yes. I plan on running into you there, and if I don't, I will send you a picture of me leaving.
I love that.
Perfect. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Coming up next, going to be joined by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, for some general recombobulation around the Supreme Court debate that took place earlier today. We'll be right back.
We're screwed.
Who is?
The old timers.
I am not old.
You're over 40. That's the cutoff. Listen to what he's saying. Retraining. New system. Youth.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I want to thank again Annalise Eicher for joining me the last half hour, and want to introduce now for the listening audience, award-winning columnist, just recently bringing home 4 pieces of hardware from the Milwaukee Press Club, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Dan, how are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Hanging in there. It's a busy time. It's the first day of early voting in the state of Wisconsin. Things are heating up.
It is. It is a very busy time. I'm just waiting for one of these slow news days. I've been kind of waiting for one since, I don't know, about 2019 when I got started here in the station.
And I was going to say 2008, maybe something like that.
It's been a while, that's for sure. And yes, today, first full day of spring. It kicked off yesterday late afternoon. It is the first day of early in-person absentee voting here across the state of Wisconsin, as we alluded to with Annalise. Her former organization working very hard to defend the ability for Wisconsinites to participate in early voting. We got the standardized 2-week window after lawsuits that One Wisconsin Now brought throughout the 2010s. And so a very important day. It is somewhat of a holiday. If you want to commemorate it, you can make a plan to be a voter starting today, in-person absentee voting. Go to myvote.wi.gov. And outside of all of that, Dan, we also had earlier today a Supreme Court forum/debate. It seemed more like a debate than I was initially expecting. And during the middle of the day, 12:45, not the best time for one of these events. I myself pulled away for a lot of other obligations here at Civic Media. But you did the homework. You got the assignment done. You listened to the whole thing. What can you do to help us recombobulate around today's debate between Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly?
Yeah, I think having these debates, I think, is really important. And, you know, but I also wonder how much new territory we're really finding out about with these debates, because I think so many of the questions revisited many of the themes of the campaign. So was there that much information that was new to potential voters? It's hard to say. I mean, I think, you know, the number of people who are going to be watching this debate in the middle of the afternoon, I know it's going to be broadcast in a number of places tonight, but the number of people who are going to be watching this in the middle of the afternoon is probably going to be dwarfed by the number of people who are going to be seeing attack ads in a variety of different broadcasts over the next couple of weeks here. But I do think having these debates is really important. You know, I attended the candidate forum when it was the 4 candidates before the primary out in Madison that was politics hosted. I think 2 of the journalists who were on that panel were also on this panel today. So it was familiar territory if you watched that debate from a couple months ago. But I still think, you know, some really important stuff was brought up over the course of the debate. Very contentious, very back and forth. But I thought there were a couple really important important answers if you want to get into those here.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, if you did not have the opportunity to listen to the entire debate in its whole, like Dan had the ability to, you could be like me. You can make a plan to tune in this evening across Civic Media. Our news director, Terry Bell, going to be working to play out all of the responses in their entirety from both Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz, WISC giving Civic Media permission to do that. It will be taking place, special event coverage, throughout the 6 p.m. hour this evening. So you can tune in and hear the responses from both state Supreme Court candidates that took place with the Wisconsin Bar earlier today, along with WisPolitics and WISC Channel 3000 here in Madison. And yeah, I believe it's important to discuss these responses. And from what I've seen, it was a little bit more back and forth, Dan. And obviously, I didn't get a chance to dive into all the meat and potatoes. I'm looking forward to doing that this evening. But what were some of the takeaways of new content or new points of contest that occurred earlier this afternoon?
Yeah, I think we got questions about a lot of the top issues in this race: abortion rights, redistricting. You know, but I think some of the interesting responses came when you really get into some of the details here. And I thought one of the questions early in the debate was about recusals. And they asked about, you know, the state Democratic Party has obviously backed Janet Protasiewicz in a big way. And a lot of outside funders have backed Daniel Kelly in a big way. So I thought Daniel Kelly delivered what might have been the worst answer of the debate on the question about recusals. Specifically about cases involving the right-wing business lobby, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, who have spent millions of dollars backing him. And he didn't say that he would recuse himself in cases brought forth by WMC. It was a just absolutely total meandering nonsense answer to the question, which I think in turn answers the question, doesn't it? Right. I mean, he didn't say he would recuse himself in cases involving the WMC. And then Protasiewicz, to her credit, said she would recuse herself in cases involving the Wisconsin or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. She has also went so far to advocate for having a strong recusal rule for justices on the court. Obviously not something that Daniel Kelly seemed particularly interested in.
Yeah. During the first 4 years that he got the opportunity to serve on the court after being appointed from 2016 until 2020, I believe very few recusals. And that has kind of been a par for the course for a lot of the Supreme Court justices for Wisconsin's highest court. The ethics, we saw this with Gableman and several other instances where the ethics aren't necessarily really, there's not binding ethics rules. It's kind of just you choose what you want. It's more of a smorgasbord. And if you want to abide by the ethics guidelines, abide by them. And if you don't, you don't. And so Dan Kelly has pointed out that his stance on recusal in this race is that he'll weigh it case by case. It's a personal decision. And that's pretty much been his response. So I'm not too surprised that we didn't get a more specific response from him on that question. But yeah, $3.1 million donated to Dan Kelly's campaign, according to Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, that keeps a very close eye on outside spending and just money and politics in general here in Wisconsin. And that was reported as of yesterday. So $3.1 million is a pretty hefty contribution from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business lobby. I believe that sounds, and again, I did not get a chance to listen to the entire debate, but for our production team here that was monitoring it and being able to collect the sound for later today, that you can hear the debate in its entirety across Civic Media at 6 p.m. It seemed like kind of taking a question and saying, oh, I'm going to get to that answer, but I'm going to talk about this instead, was more of a kind of a trend for Dan Kelly throughout this roughly hour-long debate earlier today, Dan. Is that kind of what you took away from some of his responses as well?
Yeah, and I think if you've listened to any of these forums or interviews or whatever with Daniel Kelly over the course of the debate. It's just kind of these long condescending lectures on whatever he feels like he wants to talk about that often comes up in these. And it's very difficult to listen to what he has to say and really gain anything of substance from it, because it's just a lot of just kind of misdirection and meandering and not answering the question and all these kinds of things. And, you know, we saw that in a lot of the back and forth with these response too, and, you know, making accusations toward Protasiewicz and having these kind of defensive moments. And, you know, it's just, and when certain questions are asked, he's like, he would want to answer a question from before. You know, these debate formats are a little tricky, right? When they give you like 15, you know, you have 15 seconds to respond to this like really serious accusation that Daniel Kelly would try to be making. So I thought Protasiewicz did pretty well responding to a lot of those, sticking to the issues, staying on message in a lot of ways throughout the debate. I want to point out one other thing that I thought was an interesting question. I forgot who exactly asked it. But it was about endorsements and about endorsements coming from the current members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Okay.
The questioner noted that all of the liberal justices, all three liberal justices on the court, have endorsed Janet Protasiewicz in this race. But the only conservative justice to endorse Kelly throughout this race has been Rebecca Bradley. So Pat Rogensack, who is retiring, she endorsed Jennifer Doro in the primary, but she has not yet made any endorsements in the general election. Same can be said for the other two conservatives, Brian Hagedorn and Annette Ziegler. They have not endorsed Kelly in the race either. And I think, you know, there's a story that has kind of flown under the radar in recent weeks. There were some law professors who wrote in the Wisconsin State Journal about the many times that Daniel Kelly drew dissents from other members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I'm going to quote here, not just because of ideological or political differences, but because of the poorly reasoned and irresponsible nature of his judging. You can take a look at that piece, and it really details a lot of comments from his fellow justices, including Rogensack, the other conservatives who have not endorsed Kelly in this race. So yeah. I think that is a really interesting component to consider at this moment as well.
And very interesting that Rogensack, the justice who is retiring from the state's highest court, did, as you mentioned, endorse Doro during the primary, but just has been silent since. And she's the outgoing justice. She is going to no longer be serving. And you would think that I can understand some of the other Supreme Court justices just not endorsing as a policy. Annette Ziegler, Justice Annette Ziegler being the Chief Justice of the state's highest court, I can understand some impartiality there. And it is important to note that all three of the liberal-leaning justices have even campaigned with Janet Protasiewicz at her events. And so there has been a little bit of camaraderie that you can see there on the campaign trail for those three justices hoping to have Janet Protasiewicz join them come, I believe, August 1st is when the term would begin for this next 10-year state Supreme Court race.
That's right. Yeah, and I think it's also, you know, I don't expect Brian Hagedorn to be weighing into this one as well, especially given the way that Daniel Kelly talked about Hagedorn, especially in the run-up to the primary, was especially critical of the conservative swing justice in many of his comments. And so, conservatives always like to talk about the impartiality of the judiciary and having independent views, but they elected one of them in Brian Hagedorn, who has been the swing vote, and now they can't stand him.
Yeah.
So exactly what they purport to be for when it actually happens in practice, they're immediately against it. So, you know,
and
it's a long line of hypocrisy.
One of the other takeaways that I saw from the brief little snippets that I got to listen to was something about dark money interests and the candidates not coordinating with outside money, which is against the law. Candidates here in Wisconsin cannot directly coordinate with these outside spending groups. And Dan Kelly, throughout the primary, when he was going up against Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, said that he was the conservative choice because he could get all that outside spending. It was going to be a ton of money sent his way. And now he's kind of being like, oh, no, of course, I don't talk with those outside spending groups. But somehow he knew that they were going to back him back during the primary. So a little interesting tidbit there I saw as well, Dan. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. If you want to share a tangent with us here on this Tuesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. I'm joined for one more segment by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. We got a number of other headlines that we're going to jump to, Dan, but also, I don't know what to do. This is now twice. We've had 2 days off between Bucks games. It's really weird. It's really, really weird. But we got the Wisconsin Badgers coming up. You can listen to them on several civic media stations tonight playing against Oregon in the NIT. And you can listen to the special event coverage detailing all of those responses from Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz in today's debate hosted by WIS Politics at 6 p.m. across the civic media network. Until then, stay tuned to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. We got one more segment left in the day. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. You can follow us and share us tangents online at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You can also follow the network there at Civic Media US on Facebook and Twitter. And we are joined here on this Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, award-winning columnist of the Recombobulation Area, and just doing some general recombobulation. We got a lot to stay focused on.
Before we jump into it, I'll go on a tangent of myself. You've had two songs that your producer have picked out today for both bands that I have seen live.
So, yeah, I wish Vampire. I could claim it. I wish this trophy was mine. I really do, Dan.
Those were me. I had Yacht Rock earlier for Annalise, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go on the vibe. You've seen Cake. That sounds like a terrific show.
Yeah, I saw them at the Riverside on New Year's Eve in 2008, which was a nice. Really fun night. I remember most of it.
Just ringing in the New Year. That's an excellent way. Yeah, and I mean, by all means, we are fans of tangents here. So 844-967-2789. I tend to trail off on one from time to time. I try to keep them focused as well and relate them, but some tangents kind of just end where they are. But that is, Cake bringing us into this segment. And terrific band. Brian usually likes to choose the music, and so it's almost been one of those things where, as he's very, very busy helping build out the radio network that Civic Media is growing across the state of Wisconsin, I always remember kind of just a few minutes before showtime, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to, you know, pick some tunage. So glad that you were a fan for today's selections. But here in Wisconsin, there's a lot going on. There is early voting beginning today, in-person absentee voting or early voting. Check out the website myvote.wi.gov to make a plan to be a voter. We are 2 weeks away from the statewide spring election on April 4th. Statewide, there is only one race on the ballot for candidates. It is the state Supreme Court race between Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly. And we have some referendum. There's also local elections for school boards and down ballot races. And there's a lot to keep an eye on. But beyond 2 weeks from today, a lot of other places are already talking about 2024, Dan. And here in Wisconsin, the individuals not on the ballot for the April 4th general election, there are some actors in Wisconsin talking about 2024 already. And it didn't take me by surprise because I think Senator Tammy Baldwin, who is up for re-election in 2024, is going to be a very formidable candidate. In 2018, in an off-year election, so a non-presidential election, she wiped the floor with former state senator Leah Vukmir. And I have a feeling she's only gotten better as a representative for the state of Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate over the last 6 years, that it is going to be an uphill battle for whatever Republican makes it out of the primary to take her on in the general come next November. And so knowing that, in my mind, Scott Walker is not a name that comes to mind that is going to have the ability to take her on in that race. But apparently, he let everybody know earlier this week, Dan, that, well, he would simply be bored as a senator. It's not that he couldn't beat Tammy Baldwin. It's just he finds being a U.S. senator boring. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about and help us recombobulate about Scott Walker taking his name out of the ring for a Republican U.S. Senate bid next year.
I mean, you can't help but laugh a little bit, right? I mean, it's important to have a sense of humor when you're talking about politics in the state of Wisconsin. And Scott Walker gave us all a good laugh yesterday, saying he would be bored as a senator. And that's why he wouldn't be challenging Tammy Baldwin in 2024. I had kind of been interested to see what exactly he's up to, because he's been kind of on this media tour lately. He had some comments in the New York Times. He had some comments in, he did this really weird video with Politico where he reviewed a Ron DeSantis speech.
he gave it a B+. That one.
Yeah, Politico plus maybe. So I was just like, well, what is he up to? And I guess the folks at the Journal Sentinel are asking the same question to try and figure out what exactly he's up to, if this is pointing towards something for 2024. Not so. I think, as we're taking a look at the landscape for 2024, I think maybe we talked about this the last time I was on the show, but former Milwaukee County Sheriff, disgraced Milwaukee County Sheriff mm-hmm. David Clark, thinking about running. And then a guy I've frankly never heard of before in the political sphere, CEO of the QPS Employment, Brookfield-based company. I think he's based in Franklin. He had talked about running for office as well. That is not a strong group for the Republicans in 2024. Their bench, I think people used to think of them having some sort of a very deep bench for a lot of these races, doesn't seem so deep anymore. If Congressman Mike Gallagher is not going to run against Tammy Baldwin in 2024, I think they're in some trouble. I think he would be a competitive candidate. He always does really well in his congressional district. But who knows how he would do outside of it? Who knows how he would face in a primary when candidates need to go after some more of those base voters a little bit more. It is not a great bench that they have on the Republican side for this particular Senate race. You have to be feeling good about Tammy Baldwin's chances of winning re-election next year.
I mean, she was a more effective U.S. senator during the Trump administration than Republican Senator Ron Johnson. Like, if you want to judge any members of the U.S. Senate on the track record that they have created for bipartisanship and focusing on policies that advance Wisconsin initiatives, Senator Tammy Baldwin is head and shoulders above, I want to say, any other senator representing a state in this union. And so she's going to be a very, very hard seat. Like, it's strange just because knowing the kind of thermostatic atmosphere that U.S. politics gets, that everybody is still at the national stage giving Wisconsin kind of just a lean Democratic when it comes to defending Senator Tammy Baldwin's seat in 2024. I think that those numbers are dramatically underestimating what Senator Baldwin brings to the state. I really appreciate you joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. Sorry, there's so much to cover. We can't even get to discussing anymore about the Bucks, except they're in San Antonio tomorrow. Hopefully we keep
up. They're at home. There's a giveaway for a Brooke Lopez-designed hat.
What?
So I'm going.
I thought they were on the road tomorrow. Oh, I'm very jealous then. I swear the broadcast said that two nights ago was the last night of the homestand, but I guess not. Maybe they were referencing those hats that you're giving away. And that's
the tickets I bought better be in Milwaukee, that's for sure.
We'll have to find out next Tuesday when you join us. Thank you so much, Dan. Of the Recombobulation Area, check out Dan's newsletter, subscribe. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.